So we are in our second sermon in the Green Space series, going through selected readings of Matthew this summer, talking about how sometimes in a city we're surrounded by concrete, and architects do this, city planners do this intentionally. They create green spaces because visually it can be somewhat depressing if you just see different shades of gray all around the city. And so you want life to thrive in some specific and visual places. And so sometimes when we look around our lives, a lot of times what we see is death and decay, or just hard truths. We need that green space. We need something that breathes life into us, something that visually encourages us in this world. And that's what a green space is, and that's what we want this time to be for you, a place where God breathes into you and gives you life that endures in the face of anything else you may be journeying through this summer. So today is also Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the dads that are with us, and also acknowledging for Father's Days, kind of like Mother's Day too, it's not always the easiest for everyone, right? Because not everyone had a great dad or knew their dad. And so a person's relationship with their father can be complicated, and celebrating something like Father's Day can be even more complicated, and something that people want, certain individuals may just want to move past. And it's because, like, some are known or some dads are known or absent. Some are always present. Some hold on too much. Some need to find a better balance. Some teach. Some hide. Some escape. Some dads know exactly what's happening, and some have no clue. Some love poorly, and some love well. Right? Not everyone has a great relationship with their dad, and so days like today can be hard. Some had a great relationship with their dad, but their dad is now no longer here, right? Their dad may have died. And so either that relationship is gone because of death, or perhaps their father is still alive, but the relationship is dead. So today can be hard. And there are no perfect dads. There aren't. My dad has his flaws. Right, some of you met him last Sunday. He was here. As my kids make known to me frequently, have my flaws, which is also why I didn't start off this sermon with a dad joke, right? That seemed a little too on the nose. But my dad did teach me about the love of Jesus. My dad, he did and he still does provide well for our family. He finds a way to be present, even though we live two states away, three states away. He finds a way to tell me that he loves me and that he's proud of me in genuine and real ways. There are no perfect dads. Mine tells me about Jesus and shows me that the love of God that he has, the love that my dad has, flows from God. And dads are very similar to the disciples who follow Jesus, right? Dads can be present and faithful, but they can misunderstand some key things. And yet, they are still sent by God, just like disciples, right? So it's in that vein we start this sermon today, the As You Go sermon, based on those three words of Jesus from the text and this moment that we're in today. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for showing us who the Father is, that he is good, that he is not a distant Father that sits in judgment and just is hiding around the corner waiting to crush us when we do something wrong, but he is a Father that we always have, a Father we can always go to, the Father who loves and provides. Lord, even if we have no other fathers like that in this world, help us to believe that the Father you reveal is the one who is good and the one who is here. We pray this in your name. Amen. So here's the thing about dads and disciples, right? And you can insert moms, right? This is not at the exclusion of any other person or part of a family, but today we're talking about dads. And dads and disciples have this in common. They're saints who still sin, right? They're sinning saints. And as we look at Jesus in the reading we had from today, we see that sinning saints still get sent by Jesus. Right? That's kind of our main theme, that as we go about the rest of our Father's Day, as you go about the rest of this week, whatever is scary, whatever is good, if any vacation you're looking forward to is coming up, sinning saints still get sent by Jesus. And there are three things I want you to remember about this, that Jesus knows his disciples. Jesus knows who he's calling. Jesus knows who he's sending. Jesus knows his disciples. Jesus sends his disciples. And Jesus gives his disciples his power. So Jesus knows his disciples, he sends his disciples, and he gives his disciples his power. So as we think about this first one, that Jesus knows his disciples, Jesus sought out and called these 12 guys specifically. Right? We hear a few of their calls specifically, Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John, Matthew, right? We heard that call last week. And so there's specific things that Jesus is doing with these 12 specific guys. But you also need to know that in Matthew, the number of the disciples hasn't been reported on yet. So that Jesus is singling these 12 guys out is a big deal, right? Now there's perhaps 100 or more disciples, but Jesus is centering on these 12 guys. Four fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, and we talked about that last week, right? Tax collector is kind of like the puppet of the state, and then the zealot is like the super, like, nationalist person that is absolutely opposed to anything from the state, anything from Rome. And so you have both these guys that are not just like among the disciples, but they're like one of the 12, one of these 12 guys. And then we have Judas. Isn't it interesting that Judas was one of the 12? Now, what did Jesus send these guys out to do? To cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to proclaim the message. All things Jesus has already been doing, so Jesus just could have done it. But he sends these guys out to do the same thing. And we'll unpack why in just a moment. But think about this as we go through this, that Judas, the one who would betray Jesus, the one who was doomed from before he was born, he was included in the 12. In him, Jesus gave power to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to proclaim the gospel. And so that means that there's somebody who believes today, maybe you, because of the work God did through Judas. That gives me a lot of hope for me. I hope that gives you some hope too. Not that you'll betray Jesus, but if God can use the person who will end up betraying him, there's no one he can't use. Nothing disqualifies you from being called by God. And so Jesus knows his disciples. He sought out 12 specific people, all with differing personalities, gifts, faults, histories, current struggles, and joys. Jesus knows all of those. One, because he's God and he knows everything. But also, remember, he as fully God, but also fully human in the flesh, he empties himself of a lot of his God-like power. Not God-like power, of his God power. And so I don't know how much that informs who he calls, or if that's the work of the Spirit, working with the Son at the will of the Father. But however he does it, Jesus is aware of who he's calling, their struggles, their joys. Not just because he's God, but also because he takes time to get to know these guys. So he knows where they're at. He knows what they're up to, what they're doing. He knows what they're about. And he wants to change that. And so he calls them to follow him, and they do. He knows and receives their sincere faith. Right? They believe Jesus is the Messiah. We read in John chapter 6, Jesus gives a hard teaching, And after it, like a bunch of people stop following him because they're like, who can follow this? And so they leave. And Jesus turns to these 12 and some others, and he says, what about you? Will you leave me too? And Peter pipes up. And actually, when he's speaking for the group, he usually says the right thing. And so Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So even though we know, like from other readings and other studies we've done, and if you're not aware of it, I'd love to go through that with you at some point if that's not too nerdy. But we know these disciples have their own ideas about what the Messiah is. That one day he will restore the kingdom to Israel, meaning Israel will get its king back, they'll get their props in the world again, and it will be back like the days of David and Solomon. And Jesus knows, as misguided as their ideas of the Messiah are, their faith in him is real. And that is a work that God has brought about in them. So despite their misguided ideas, Jesus still sends them because he knows them. And he knows what they want Messiah to do. And just like he's there to call them into a different line of work, a different path from what they were walking on before, he's going to take their ideas of Messiah and change that too. What it means to be the anointed one by God. Jesus knows his disciples. And so he still sends his disciples. Jesus sends his disciples despite their misguided assumptions. Right? Jesus knows that. And here's why Jesus can work with these guys, right? Not only does he know these guys, Jesus also knows David, right? Jesus knows Solomon. And how do we know that? Well, another account later on in the story of Jesus, he gathers with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, on a mountaintop. And his glory is revealed, and appearing with him as Jesus is transfigured before them, standing with him are Moses and Elijah, right? So Jesus knows Moses and Elijah. Somewhere else, Jesus says, when somebody's challenging him on how he can be the Son of God, he talks about Abraham and how Abraham saw what was going to happen through what God revealed to him, and he believed. Right? Abraham believed in the promise of God. And then Jesus says these words, before Abraham was, I am. Right? So if Jesus knows Abraham and Moses and Elijah, it's not too far a stretch to think he knows David and Solomon. And he knows what those kingdoms were about back in the day. And he's not about political aspirations. Jesus is about something that outlives politics. Jesus is about something that goes beyond and goes deeper than personal preferences and causes. Jesus is about the kingdom of God. And so he instructs, he sends these 12 guys out also to be about that same kingdom, to make that same thing known to all the villages he sends them to. And is it unique, the places he sends them, right? We think about Jesus being for the world, and he is. Can I get an amen? Like, is Jesus for the world? Yes. But why would he only send these 12 guys to Israel? It seems rather exclusive. Why would Jesus do this? Because God made a covenant with his people that he would be their God and they would be his people. And even when they are faithless, even when his people are misguided and or rebellious, just straight up rebellious and abandon him, he does not abandon them. And so Jesus is sending these 12 to the lost tribes of Israel because he is faithful. And even though they're religious leaders who should know better from reading the word of God that they had, they miss it. He sends these 12 to make that word known so that no one in Israel can say they never knew, because Jesus is sending these guys to make it known. And so what Jesus is sending them to do. It comes from what he knows, that it goes beyond what the disciples or Israel or you or me can ask or imagine. Jesus knows what they believe, and that in that faith, in the faith that they believe in him, through his call for them to follow, he sends them to get his people ready, ready for him to visit their villages, visit their homes. And as he sends them, right, God, this is just what God does. This is his continual posture, to send the Son, to send the Spirit. Right before that, he was sending prophets. Now he sends you and me. In the reading today, he's sending his disciples, his apostles. In fact, that's what the word apostle means. And this is the first time Matthew uses that word. Before, he just talks about disciples kind of blanketly. But now he talks about these guys specifically. They are the sent ones, the apostles. That's what that means, the sent ones. And he doesn't send them alone. He doesn't leave his mission to circumstance. He doesn't leave that mission to just fortune, whether good or bad. He sends those disciples with his power, with his authority. Jesus gives his disciples his power to do what he does. And that's what we see him doing. Jesus was doing miracles, casting out demons, healing people, whether it was from spiritual harm or natural harm, raising the dead, and to preach the good news. Now, I don't know about you, but I've only, I don't know if I can say an exorcism. I did a house blessing over a house that was cursed or seemed cursed by its occupants twice. And I could not detect an evil presence there. I believe the people, what they were experiencing in those homes. But that's the closest I've come to casting out a demon. And it's really, it's not even me, right? Because it's not my power, right? It is the power of God doing the work. And so that's what we bring into a home for a blessing, into a situation. It's very similar to actually to what God does in baptism. You can consider that a type of exorcism, because before baptism, we just have a beautiful, adorable little sinner there. And God releases them from that evil, from that sin. And so we may not be doing exorcisms or casting out demons the same way the disciples are here. I have never risen in anyone from the dead. Just being real. The only healing I've encountered is when I've prayed with someone and left, they've told me later that God healed them. And they truly believe it was only because the power of God at work. And so that is nothing I do. They're simple prayers that I pray, but they're simple prayers that anyone prays. And sometimes God says no, and that's really hard. Sometimes God says yes, and it's beautiful. And so we continue to pray to the God who has that power, who shares it with his disciples in this reading, but he gives you that same call. God does not send you out empty-handed either, right? So Jesus gives the same message and mission that he's been proclaiming. The kingdom of God is at hand. Not like it's almost going to come. No, it's here. It's like right here. Like at hand. Like right next to you. It's a little uncomfortable. Thanks, nephew. Right? The kingdom of God is at hand, meaning Jesus is the kingdom of God. He's bringing the rule and reign of God, breaking through sin and darkness and blindness and doubt and anything that's been going after these people. In our reading today, if you look back in our gathering guide, you can see that Jesus has compassion on them because, as Matthew writes it down, he said, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Well, what harasses sheep without a shepherd? Wolves, predators, right? And so these words, harassed and helpless, there's a little more vivid translation. And it's more like they're flayed open and cast to the side, right? So if you picture sheep attacked, just open wounds and left there, that's how Jesus sees the crowd, like sheep, like that. And so he sends his disciples to heal, right? And so you think about your own heart and mind. How is your heart and mind flayed open? Where are the places you feel vulnerable? Where are you hurting right now? Where are you struggling? God is sending you a room full of people to speak those words of healing to you. And despite how flayed you might be and helpless you might feel, God sends you to do that same work. And he tells them these words ahead of time, so that he tells them about things that are going to distract them, the distractions they'll face and the struggles they'll have. He does that to prepare them for the situations that they're going to get into in these villages that will attempt to derail or hamstring the mission God is giving them, to stop them. And he tells them ahead of time so his words will be there when we need it, right? Simple things tend to matter the most when you lack them. Wouldn't you say that's true? Simple things tend to matter the most when you lack them. Like water, right? You don't really feel like you need water until you're thirsty. And then when you're thirsty, oh, you are. It's too late. You're already dehydrated. Or this is a favorite in our family. I used to make fun of them because it never happened to me, and then it started happening to me. When you've been on the road for a while and you get home and you need that bathroom, like, you don't think about a bathroom until you need it, right? Simple things don't seem to matter until you need them. And so these simple reflections we've been going over today, like Jesus knows his disciples, Jesus sends his disciples, Jesus gives his disciples his power, they kind of seem innocuous until you need to know that Jesus knows you. Until you need to know, you need to remember that Jesus doesn't make mistakes. He didn't accidentally send 12 random guys and just hope for the best. Jesus chose people specifically, which means he is choosing you specifically to be his witnesses at Third and Liberty in Ann Arbor in Washtenaw County to the ends of the earth. So at Emmaus, we don't keep track of how many demons you've cast out, but we celebrate God working through you. Man, we want to hear those stories. So if you have an opportunity, if you remember a conversation or occasion where God did his work through you, man, share that. You can email me if you're trying to think of, like, how do I share that? Or write it down and send it to me. Or share it with somebody else here that may need to know that. At Emmaus, we don't keep track of how many people you healed, but we celebrate how God answers your prayers. Because whether you pray to him for healing or for anything else, he will always answer. It might be yes, which is great. It might be wait, which is all right. It might be no, which is hard. But we celebrate God answering prayer, however he answers those prayers. And we celebrate you seeking him. At Emmaus, we don't track the lessons you learn, but we celebrate how God reveals his deep love for you. We may not be able to recall all the things that God has done, right? There wouldn't be enough books or paper to record all of that. But we can celebrate what God is doing in our midst right now, today. And in all the ways that we are different from the disciples, the message and the power is the same for dads and for everybody. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. And there's a world that needs to know, a nation that needs to know, a region that needs to know, a city, that a neighborhood, a house, a home, a parent, a child. The kingdom of heaven is at hand for you. So as you go into God's green space today, making more green space for someone else, sinning saints still are sent by Jesus. There are three things I want to leave you with to help you remind you of that. Number one, if you haven't already, mission pathway. I don't get tired of saying it, even if you may get tired of me saying it, of hearing it. Mission pathway. If you want to learn how to share, how to be a little more intentional about, like, all right, because of this, here's one thing I can do. It's awesome. And you get a little, you get some team around you to help encourage each other in that. So mission pathway. Wednesdays, it's not this coming Wednesday, but next. If you haven't already, download our app. You can check out some of the sermon series on there, some of the past sermons we did. You can check out, there's some Bible readings on there. By the end of the summer, one of my goals is to have up there a study for everybody to use. Something very simple, something easily accessible, whether you've followed Jesus all your life or you're sharing this with somebody who has never heard about Jesus before in their life. So check out the app. And then next Sunday, come to our church picnic, Worcester Park, right after worship. Lawn games, if you have one or two to bring. I'm bringing canned jam. Bring a dish to pass. We'll see you then. Right now, let's turn our hearts to the God who sends people to this place and time, and the God that sends you out. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for fathers that reveal your power, your heart, your humor, and your deep, deep love for us. Jesus, thank you for things like water and bathrooms that help us understand simple things, so that when we're in much more complicated things, situations, feelings, relationships, hardships of the present moment or hardships of the future, Lord, through those, even in those complicated moments, Lord, you will touch our hearts with simple things, that you know us, that you send us, and you don't send us alone. And you send us with your power. You send us with at least one other person to walk alongside us. Lord, help us to remember these truths so that as we go into green spaces or any other kinds of spaces, Lord, it's your power that does your work in our heart and in your world around us. We pray this in your name. Amen.